Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is about to make his mighty return known in all the earth. The Lord will change opinions as he do his mighty works. When the Lord returns, many things will happen on the earth. People that didn't think Jesus was coming back will have to deal with the fact that millions and millions and millions of people have disappeared all over the earth. And the gospel will be everywhere the gospel went and people responded. They will have to deal with the fact that these people are missing. And many people will witness them vanish. And years ago, I asked the Lord to show me what the rapture was like. And I was sacking groceries at a grocery store. In fact, I got saved at that grocery store. And I saw more than one vision there. This was a vision I saw one Saturday morning. I was sacking groceries. And I just prayed in my heart, asking the Lord, what would the rapture be like? And he used the setting I was in. And that was a lady in a red dress. She was pushing her basket. And she just vanished. I heard the horn blow and she just vanished. And out of 30 people that morning, just like in the store that morning, about five of them just disappeared in my sight. Now, I didn't disappear. I was the observer. He put me in the position of the observer. So that's what it's going to be like. And the Lord's return is soon and swift and without warning. And when he does come back, it's going to be glorious. And we're going to see him as he is. Now, we've been talking about mindsets. Every time the Lord do something notable, and David Jeremiah said that every 500 years the Lord did something notable that all the earth knew about. And you know, the rapture is no different. It'll be a notable event. The flood happened, and every tribe in the earth knows about the flood, not just from the word of God. And when the day Jesus died for us, the whole world went dark. And people know about it. They talked about it all over the world. It was notable. When Jesus came and taught people, people know that he came and taught. They know what they learned his teachings. They saw him. They saw miracles happen. And this recorded not just in the word of God, but in history. And people know about it. It was notable. But that didn't mean all people changed. And when you're dealing with the mindset of men, it's hard to change people's opinions unless you operate in more light. And the best way to operate in more light is to shift gears with God and let your own mind be renewed. When our minds are renewed and we begin to think like Jesus, when we begin to think like him, our minds are renewed and we can do more than we used to. And we understand things on greater levels. And the Lord is with us to help us, to motivate us, to guide us. And you know, my opinions used to change slow. But the more information I receive from the Lord, my opinions, it's easy for me to change my opinion towards the word of God. And I asked the Lord a new prayer. I had a new prayer this morning. I said, Lord, teach me how to kill every form of doubt. And the reason we operate in God's word in parts and pieces is because there are still lacks of knowledge, areas of where we lack knowledge. There are still remaining things that we didn't deal with. We didn't even think about it. Didn't even know to deal with it. But as we read the Word of God and see it for what it is, it gets easier for us to walk in faith. It's easier for us to believe God. It's easier to cooperate because we're destroying areas of doubt. Pastor Jim once said that the Word of God gets the doubt out. Everybody has faith. Every Christian has a measure of faith, and that's all you need, a little faith anyway. But the way we measure it, the way we measure the faith we have or the Word of God that we hear, it's according to the sum of what you believe. So as we get rid of doubt, that's why it's easier to cooperate with God. And we're doing everything we do publicly. Billy Graham said that when you get saved publicly. When you operate in the Word of God, you do it publicly. Everything you do publicly. People see you. They notice that you have a problem, and then they notice that the problems get solved. And they don't know how to solve that kind of problem, but you did it. Some kind of way you solved it, and it looked impossible. It looks grim when people are on a deathbed or in the hospital and they have cancer or they have a child and the child has medical problems and then you believe in God and they have no experience. You know, their first thought was to not believe God but to look at the medical field. What are the doctors saying? And then they worry about they worry when the doctors can't do anything. All these are challenges among men. And see, the thing about problems is that they don't just go to wicked people. So people sometimes doubt your integrity because of the problem you have. And poor teaching teaches that God gave you the problem because you did something crazy or you did something wicked. Now they came to Jesus and asked him, were the people sinners because that tower fell on them? And he pointed out that their sin had nothing to do with it. That was a happenstance. But he said, if you don't repent, you will likewise perish. In other words, everybody was headed to destruction. And if they don't change their ways and not get saved, if they don't get saved, they're going to fall into a worse condition than the people who were crushed by the tower. It's not, God don't give people sicknesses, diseases. A man was, he was born blind. And they said, did this man sin or his parents? Now, they immediately thought it was sin. He said, neither. But for the glory of God. Jesus healed him, and it glorified God. That was just something that happened. If anything, it was an attack from Satan. And remember, Satan is the first sinner. And he got kicked out of his kingdom. He got kicked out of his position. He's lost. He's lost. But he don't have a right to accuse. But he accuses. And he attacks. He looks for weaknesses, hurts, and fears, and he attacks our lives. When couples are about to get pregnant, when they're thinking about starting a family and getting pregnant, they need to do the same thing that God told Abraham to do. He said, be perfect, because this time next year you're going to have a son. And remember, we bear fruit after our kind. So, if you want obedient children, live an obedient life to God. If you want your children to love God, you love God. Be perfect. And then secure your children. Pray for their health. Pray for their bodies. Pray for their minds. Pray, you know, ask God to, don't wait till your wife is pregnant. And don't wait till you're pregnant. Believe God for their best right now. And live a perfect life. Live according to God's word with all you got. And that's how, and then if you already have children, start living the life of God before them. Because you can shape their future as you change, as you renew your mind. And years ago, the Lord taught me about the mind. He said, there's only two types of minds. There's a renewed mind and a deceived mind. People who renew their mind, they do it on purpose. They think new thoughts. They govern their lives by the word of God. They think the true things. They think according to God's wisdom. They don't let happenstance get in the way. You think according to God's word, and you don't let any other thing be exalted above God's word. You don't draw any conclusions greater than God's word. All of your conclusions is drawn by the word of God. That's called faith and trust. Because you trust God, you'll have faith in him. And because you have faith in him, you're going to be able to trust him. Remember, trust is the noun, faith is the verb. Trust is a state of being. It's a dormant state of being. But it's a foundational dormant state of being. It's a noun. It doesn't do anything. It's looking at God to do something in the future because of his track record in the past. It's not doing it. It's not active. It's a state of being. But because you trust God, you act. Faith is the verb side of trust. Trust is the noun side of faith. Faith is always current. It's always active. It's always looking to God. It's on like, just like the lights in your house. You turn the switch on and it's current. The lights stay on. Your faith stays on. The just shall live by his faith. His actions, his thoughts, his opinions. He operates in faith, and he learns to operate in trust. Because people don't trust God unless they win. If you act on his word, you detect something in his word, and it turns your faith on. It's like a candle. And then you act on God's word, and the faith becomes knowledge when it's finished. And that clues you in that you can trust God, just like you suspected. By faith in the first place. So our mindsets grow. We grow from glory to glory. It doesn't matter if you don't have it all together yet. That's not the problem. Because God is looking at the heart. If you're renewing your mind, that's the best God can expect from you. And he's just and faithful towards us. It's when we start considering the negative. Now, people who don't renew their mind like they should, it doesn't change the love of God, but it will change the way they love God. And if they don't stay in the kingdom of God, they can be lost. God's love doesn't deter towards us. So, the Lord knew that we would have struggles. He knew we would go in and out. He knew we would go up and down. And we wouldn't understand everything going on around us. He knew this. So he supplied us with fail-safes. The first one is the Holy Spirit was sent to guide us into all truth. And Jesus Christ is our high priest to plead our case in heaven. And then and since Jesus is a king and a priest, and we're made in his likeness because we believe on him. We became like him. And we became kings and priests. So the third failsafe is the fact that there are priests here. There are kings here. All of us are kings and priests. And we pray for each other. When strong people notice people going weak, they do things to strengthen them. They pray for them. They intercede for them. They live the life before them. When you can't always preach, when you can't always minister the word, as a, and you know, giving people the word of God, not as ministering the word of God, when you can't always do that, you can always, my friend, live the life. You can always operate by the word. There's nobody in the world that can stop you from living the life of God. That's a personal choice that you do on purpose. Nobody can stop you. All they can do is observe. And the question was asked, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? It's because they're angry, because they're not willing to do what should be done. People get angry when they see people succeeding and they decide not to succeed. They decide not to join in with God. They hold back because they love the world, but they see others going forward in life, learning from God, being blessed by God. And people are so certain of their world that it's right. And the world system is something you just have to live with. And then here come Christians believing God, getting answers, getting healed, being blessed, operating under the favor of God. And the Lord is guiding them and things are working out. But then when they're not willing to join in and they love the world, they love the way of pride, then they get angry. They don't want it to work the way it's working. They want you to be like them. And see, the thing about pride is it wants preeminence. It always wants to be preeminent. It doesn't want people to do better. It wants to be in charge. It wants to be preeminent. It wants to be accepted. But it doesn't work that way. You override the rudiments of this world in real time when you take the Lord at his word. You override the rudiments of this world. And the Holy Spirit helps us out, helps us to go forward and not backwards. He helps us to do what we normally couldn't do and be truly blessed and benefited by every promise he's provided. The Lord our God has more to say. And as we believe him, we partake of more and more and more and more. And the word of God is always good. It's always for us. He's blessing us in every way of life. Our light takes away excuses. People fill their lives with excuses. The enemy supplies them as much as people want them, or as much as people will receive them. Excuses are always convenient. The enemy used them as a tactic. The Lord gives us life. But we have to act. We have to act on some things to receive life. We have to act on the word of God. We have to act on the principles. When it comes to love, we have to act on our love. And we receive greater. We can do things we normally couldn't do. We see what we normally wouldn't see. And we become what we normally wouldn't be. And we expose the wrong opinions for what they are. And then people, when they see you doing things the right way, the enemy's trying to give them some other form of an excuse. So he tempt them to question your motives. Well, why is he doing right? What's in it for him? It's got to be something in it for him. Why would he love me for nothing? He wants something from me. Why does he help her out? He wants something from her. Why are they being nice? What are they up to? But see, consistency, consistent love, consistently acting on the love of God is a loud voice. It's a very loud voice. And it can destroy the deception that people pick up in the world. And that's what our light does. It exposes traditions and dead things of this world for what they are. And when people lie against the truth, if as long as it's false, there's nothing for that lie to attach to. It's just, living by truth is a defense. When we're in the truth and people are lying, the lies have no way to stick to our lives. Truth is a defense. It's part of our weaponry, the girdle of truth. Satan's accusations can't stick. It's the same way with temptation. If we purify our heart, or we operate with a pure heart, we purify our hands, and we're not double-minded, then his fiery darts have no way to stick. There's not the things he will use to lure us in the world, they can't stick to us. Consistent love, unfeigned love. Feigned love is fake love. Now, unfeigned love is real love, sincere love, active love. You can have active love and active faith. Just like you can have active faith, you can have active love. Active love is active faith. Love and faith are so similar. Both of them are verbs. The Greek word is charity. Unfeigned love is charity. They are verbs. In fact, faith without works, inactive faith, is dead. It's real faith, but if it's not active, it's dormant, it's dead, it's useless. Faith always is in action. Even when you're believing for something and you're doing the work, you're working towards the goal. Faith is in action. When you're in a state of believing and acting towards God's word, when you're not doubting, your faith is always active. And we learn not to doubt. We learn not to fear. We learn. See, God didn't give us fear. That means we have to unlearn. We have to unlearn it. We have to push it out of our life. I always love to say we drive out the thoughts of this world, just like the Canaanites. The people of God were supposed to drive the Canaanites out of the land. And we drive things away that's unwanted. We drive out the devices of darkness. We drive out the things in this world that causes us trouble and harm. All the thoughts that exalt themselves above the knowledge of God, we drive it out right off the bat. And we form greater opinions, new opinions. We solve problems in life instead of letting them run us down. We become a blessing to people. And we help people go forward in life. All these things are true. And as we take the Lord at his word and consider what he's saying, we have what we say. Our faith, spoken by our mouth, puts a demand on life in our lives. And it always changes opinions. I'm out of time, but the Lord is not here. Continue to mightily move in your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus is Lord.